In this passage, we hear one of the many healing stories of Jesus. The reading begins. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In this lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Take up your mat and walk. Who do you think of as someone who truly embodies that call in their living? Taking up their mat and walking. Who do you think of as someone who truly lives a life filled with purpose and determination? I'm thinking of someone from British Columbia, someone who was born in Port Coquitlam. Thinking of this person as a child who competed actively in sports. Basketball was his love as a kid. Grade 8, he was not very tall, 5 feet, but he was very agile, and he was good. By grade 10, he was the starting guard for his school. He was the co-recipient of the Athlete of the Year award for his school. Played all through high school. He played college ball, even into university. But we really didn't get a sense of this person's purpose-based living, his determination of the way he would truly take up his mat and walk until he started facing some health challenges. In his early 20s, he started getting some severe pains in his right knee. They first thought it was due to a car accident that he'd been in. But the pain continued and it got worse. They thought maybe this athlete was suffering some problems with his cartilage. So much basketball, not enough time to recover. Then he went to Royal Columbian Hospital, and he was given the worst possible assessment. He was given an assessment of osteogenic sarcoma, bone cancer. And the way they treat that cancer is the removal of the leg, amputation, chemotherapy. And on that time, Terrence Stanley Fox, Terry Fox, showed the world what purpose-based living looked like. He showed the world what it was like to take up your mat and walk when you face such significant challenges. He showed and inspired so many of us. He would have a dream. 3 years later, his dream would be to have the Marathon of Hope to run all the way across Canada, earning $1 for every Canadian that would go towards fighting cancer, cancer research. But he would not realize that dream alone. He would use his faith. He, along with his girlfriend, would attend the Baptist church in his community. And when he ran his race, he would read scripture each evening, reflecting on the meaning of life. And when he went to Nanette, Manitoba, he would be baptized in Pelican Lake. It wasn't just his faith. The Spirit was alive in some special people that God placed around Terry. Rick Hansen, reached out to Terry in his time of need. He invited him, as a fellow basketball player, to join his Vancouver Cable Cars basketball team. But the person that really inspired Terry, the person that really inspired, he actually read about. He read on the night before his surgery about a man named Dick Trong, a fellow amputee, a man that ran the New York City Marathon as an amputee. And right then and there, Terry was so inspired. His vision, his dream for the Marathon of Hope was hatched. He would begin after his recovery and his training 3 years later. He would begin on the east coast of Canada, dipping his right leg, his prosthetic leg, into the Atlantic Ocean right near St. John's, Newfoundland. And he would run 143 days. He would run for 5,373 kilometers all the way. He would run. Eventually, the run, as we know, came to an end. The cancer came into his lungs, and he wasn't able to finish the dream that he had originally thought of, but his dream was truly realized. Today, people, millions of people, in 25 countries, are running in Terry's memory, inspired by the way he lived with purpose, by the way he took up his mat and walked. We move to the scripture passage today. We enter into a very interesting scripture that comes to us on many different layers of meaning and depth and symbolism. We're introduced to a pool, a healing pool that had these special, almost magical properties assigned to it. In fact, if you were to read the King James Version, I know it's still a favorite of some of you, you would read that there's actually an angel that stands over the pool and stirs that pool up. Whatever version you read, this pool has magical healing properties associated with it. And there, that pool is right next to a sheep gate. And there's a lineup of people along the gate. And you can almost picture them. There are those who are blind, those who are lame, those who are paralyzed. All of the various afflictions of people waiting for the healing properties of that pool. Waiting patiently. They're waiting for their turn to get in and enter into this healing pool. What happens is that when it is stirred up, healing occurs. Just one caveat to that. You have to be first into the pool. The first one into the pool receives the healing. It's no good if you're second or third or fourth or fifth or there. You have to be first. Get in. So everyone's waiting their turn patiently and waiting to finally get into that pool. In the passage, we meet a very sick man. He's been waiting for his turn to get into the pool. We don't exactly know what his affliction is, but we know he has some type of mobility issue. He's not very quick at getting up from his seated position and getting into the pool. As he tries to do that, someone jumps ahead of him and gets into the pool when it was actually his turn. He'd been waiting, waiting, waiting. Text says that it was 38 years that he'd been waiting for his turn. 38 years of people jumping ahead, taking his turn. 38 years. Interestingly, the man has no name. He becomes almost a symbol of exclusion, doesn't he? He becomes someone that we wonder about who it is in our society that is being excluded and left out. Who are we leaving behind and who are we leaving as last? Who are we jumping ahead of in the queue? And in the text, there's such a powerful dialogue between Jesus and the man. Jesus says to the man, "Do you want to be made well?" Man says, "Sir, I don't have anyone to put me into the pool, and receive its healing. By the time I stand up and try to make my way, someone always jumps ahead, and I lose my chance. Jesus says to him, stand up. Take your mat and walk. And there we hear a challenging command of faith and a powerfully rich response by the man. I wonder how that would look today. How would that text be played out if we saw that being offered today? What does it mean today to walk boldly into the future with purpose? What does it mean to take up your mat and walk? Certainly, Terry Fox is a sterling example. But there are so many others, so many different ways in which people take up their mat and walk today. People that are facing their own unique challenges and circumstances, and to those rise to their own challenges and take up their own mats and gently walk into the future. How does that look in your world, in your context? I'm thinking about, through the week here at Northwood, some of the brave men and women that attend meetings like Alcoholics Anonymous here at Northwood and other communities where they gather together for places like AA or other addiction recovery groups and truly take up their mat. There's a woman that every time I talk to her, she always wants to tell me her story. She says, Reverend Scott, I've been sober for 42 years. And every time she chooses not to take a drink, she takes up her mat. She walks. Thinking about a woman who leaves a situation of domestic abuse, who leaves her home battered and bruised with her children in her arms and only the clothes on her back, and goes into a transition house and starts bravely again. Woman who takes up her mat, walks. I'm thinking about a senior. I'm thinking about a senior that has been married for decades and decades. Maybe she even celebrated her 50th wedding anniversary with her beloved spouse. But then she loses that partner. And she needs to begin to move ahead on her own. Never, ever forgetting the life and the love that had been shared, but also building ahead and taking her mat and walking into the future bravely. How are you called to walk into the future? How are you called to walk with purpose, to walk boldly, to take up your mat and walk? I think I should pause for a moment here and offer a note of caution, because I think this text has some danger to it. There's almost a blame the victim type mentality that I think can come along with this text. Why can't they just take up their mat and get over it? I think taking baby steps are really a good way to sometimes start. I think in some ways, as we think about the man, the 38 years of waiting and waiting, those were social conventions that were working against him. He had no idea about another way to live until Jesus comes along and offers him another way. Sometimes baby steps are a great way to begin taking up our mat and walking. But I think the invitation that Jesus offers is to partner with the healing he offers and to take part in that as well. For the man, it's a shift in faith from putting his faith in the magic of the healing power, the angel that stirs that pool, to put his faith in the way of Christ, the way of peace, the way of love and justice. I'll tell you a story about a man that I've been connecting with over the summer at First United Church on the Downtown East Side. He's a man, as many do in the Downtown East Side, was facing some challenges around addiction. said to me one day, he said, Reverend Scott, you're going to be so proud of me. I've decided that for the rest of the summer, I'm not going to do any more heroin and any more cocaine. I said, wow, that's amazing. You're so strong to do that, to move forward. How can I support you? How can I help you? This is amazing. But then I had a thought. I thought, you know, he always has a marijuana joint rolled up in his ear. I said, I noticed that you didn't mention marijuana. Are you going to stop smoking the pot as well? He said, Reverend Scott, I can't give up everything at once. And I thought, well, baby steps, right? Those are huge steps, really. Cocaine, heroin. Those are the steps that he's able to do. He had an amazing summer. Everyone's version of taking up their mat, I think, will be different. Everyone's response to this call of Christ will be different in our own challenges, in our own context. But the important thing that I think we're hear from this text is for us to do our best, to walk in the way of Christ, to walk in the way of justice, to take one day at a time and to walk towards that which gives light, that which gives hope, and to that which gives purpose. Talked a bit about individual taking up our mats. I think I'd like also for us to consider the corporate, the communal call of how we are called to take up our mats as well. How are we called to walk boldly into the future with purpose? How are we called to take up our mats and walk? How are we called to be church? Next Sunday is going to be Rally Sunday. Carrie has been working very hard with a group of people coordinating this Sunday, and this will be an opportunity for us to consider our purpose, our identity, the individual calls that we all have uniquely that make up the church. You know this, put your hands together. Remember this one, right? Do this when you're in Sunday school. This is the church, right? You're not doing it. Come on. Wake up. Now you're sleeping on me. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people, right? Those people, each and every one of those people are priceless. They are you. And the church cannot function without each and every part of the church. Next Sunday, we're at Rally Sunday, we're going to consider what each of our purpose is, how we fit together as part and how we make up communally the body of Christ in this community at Northwood. Everything's important. Singing in the choir, serving coffee after church, the hospitality we offered at funerals this Tuesday and Thursday earlier this week, people that write cards for people that are sick and in, you know, that need that kind of support. People that the myriad of ways that we offer that we are the church. So critical and important for each and every one of us, for us to consider how we together are the church. I think as we come to an end of our conversation, I think the best way for us to finish out are some words that are very old, and I think they're words that you probably may know quite well. From St. Teresa of Avila, a 16th century Christian mystic, she talks about our individual purpose. And she says, Christ has no body but yours. Christ has no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Friends, this is the profound call of the church, which is both challenge and blessing. May we walk forth in the future, walking boldly into the future with purpose. May we all take up our mat and walk our journeys. Amen.